As always, it is good to be here. Checking my power on the microphone. Might need some more batteries, but we'll be all right. Like I said, it is good to be here, and of course, this is our last service of the season. I don't know about you, but it seems like this year is just flying by. Of course, school is back in session for those that are in school, and all those things that come along with the end of summer are coming to pass. But the message this morning is one that's on a passage that I'm sure is familiar. And the songs that we sang as a group this morning, actually just about all of them go hand in hand with the theme of this message. And that wasn't planned. As Bill and Kevin, wherever Kevin went, will testify, we usually don't know what we're going to sing when we get up to sing. Charlie just stands up and says, all right, we're going to do this one. Usually he doesn't even know the name of it. He just says, hey, we're doing this song on such and such. Terry will play a couple notes and we just have to jump in wherever we can jump in. But this morning it worked out that we actually sang some songs that went right along with the theme of this message this morning. If you take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Like I said, I'm sure this is going to be a familiar passage, and typically, probably about 90% of the time that we hear this passage is at a funeral. And it's a passage of hope, and that's one of the reasons that we tend to use it in funeral messages, but it's a passage that isn't just for funerals. It's a passage that we can use and take hope and comfort in every single day of our lives. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'll start in verse 13. This translation says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, concerning those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve like the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again in the same way through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For we say this to you by word from the Lord. We who are still alive at the Lord's coming will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are still alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air and the clouds, and so we will be always with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Let's go to the Lord one more time in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity to be in this place this morning, to sing praises to you, to fellowship with one another, and then in the next few minutes, Father, just to look into your word, at the words of hope and encouragement that you've given us here in these few verses that we've read this morning. I pray that you would open hearts this morning, that the words that I say would not be mine, but that they would be yours. And we thank you for your many blessings, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, I'm sure it's a familiar passage, and it's a passage that's been on my heart a lot recently, just because Alex and I have been doing something that quite frankly, if I were to be honest with you, it's probably one of the things that I dislike the most in life. And I don't use this word very often, but I would honestly go as far to say as I hate it. And that's moving. Alex and I just got done moving. We got done getting the stuff moved out and into our new house. It's still in boxes, majority of it. We're still trying to figure out where everything's going to go. But we've been moving, and I'm telling you, I hate it. And I was counting up since I joined the Air Force. I think this makes the 8th move that I've done in the last 10 years. I told Alex, I said, this is it. I'm not moving again. Alex even said, I'm going to die in this house. we're not moving. And I don't know. I said, I guess next time we move, well, if the Lord tarries, we're just going to call some movers to come get it, or we're just going to call a dumpster and throw everything away and move into a retirement home and call it quits. And that'll be it. But, and as I was thinking this, and you know, being a guy that owns a pickup truck, you tend to always get called when people are moving, which is fine. I love helping people out. In fact, we just got finished this week getting the last, you know, couple little things out of our townhouse and turned the keys over to the landlord and everything. some of our best friends called and said, hey,
packing up and we're leaving on Saturday. Do you think you could come help us load our moving truck? I was like, oh my goodness, here we go again. I thought I was done moving for at least a little while. So we spent majority of yesterday helping some friends load up a moving truck and getting them on their way. So moving, I hate it. I literally hate it. And I think if I were to take a poll of most folks in here that have moved a handful of times or even once or twice, you would probably say that you dislike moving as well. It's just, it's all the planning, it's all the packing and the unpacking and all the stress and everything else that goes along with it. And as I was thinking about moving over the course of the last few weeks that we've been moving, my mind began to take a little bit of a different turn and a little bit of a different path in thinking of that theme of moving. And I kept coming back to this passage because as I was looking at this, I was thinking about a moving day that I'm actually looking forward to. A moving day that when I think about it, it doesn't cause me stress and grief and all the things that go along with all the other moves that I've done. It's a moving day that I hopefully, if you're anything like me, gets you excited. And it should get you excited. It's a moving day that we've talked about in these last few verses that we've read this morning. A moving day that's coming. It's a theme that many of those of you that have heard me preach before have probably heard me talk about my grandpa. My grandpa just turned 96. 96, back in May, still pastors, and while he's slowed down quite a bit over the course of the last couple years since my grandmother passed, his mind's still sharp, and he still preaches, and over the course of my 30 years, I've heard him preach many times on moving on, and he always used a phrase. He said, I'm paid up, I'm prayed up, and I'm ready to go up, and that's how he lived his life. That's how he's always lived his life, and that's how he's always thought about that moving day that's coming. And he's always been a bivocational pastor and preacher, meaning that he's always worked in addition to preaching. And for majority of his life, he was a machinist by trade. And he used to tell a story years ago about back in the 50s and 60s when he was working in a machine shop, about a guy named George that he worked with. And this guy was he wasn't a machinist, he wasn't anything, he was just kind of a laborer, and his main job was to sweep up and to clean up the machine shop at the end of the day, and all the grease and the metal shavings and everything else that was on the floor. And so he would always come out a little dirty, and as those of you who've been in those type of places will know, it's not the cleanest place to be. And he'd always have the grease all over his coveralls and, you know, his dirty hands and everything else. And but there was one thing about George that my grandpa always said stuck out to him, and that was he was always going around singing a song to himself while he was pushing a broom or while he was pushing a mop around or wiping down the machinery. And there were always songs such as In the Sweet By and By and When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder, and all these songs about going home to heaven. And late one Friday afternoon, about 10 minutes to quitting time, when everyone was beginning to grow weary, someone looked at George, who was still in his dirty coveralls, still covered in grease and shavings, and they said, George, are you ready? And he said, yeah, I'm ready. And of course, he was still all dirty, still covered in the grease and the shavings, and as they looked around him, he was still working and still trying to get the last little bit of grease and dirt off the floor, and they looked at him and said, George, I don't think you're ready. You're not ready to go home. You haven't even changed. You're still dirty. You're still greasy and everything else. And he smiled and he said, no, I'm ready to go home. And he began to unzip the coveralls, and he had on clean clothes underneath. And of course, his hands he'd already washed and cleaned. And he slipped those coveralls off, and he was perfectly clean, ready to go home. And he said to him, he said, you see, I stay ready to keep from having to get ready. Just like I do when I'm ready to go see Jesus. I stay ready to see Jesus. There's one question this morning I'm going to ask you several times, and it's, friends, are you ready for the moving day? Are you ready to move on to see Jesus? These passages, this few verses that I read this morning, we can see a few different things that are going along with this moving day. We can see, first of all, the participants involved in this move. Just like any kind of move that you do on this earth, there's going to be some folks involved. Sometimes it's just you and a friend or two. Sometimes you've actually got movers that you've hired, but there's always folks and people involved with the move.
First of all, we can see in these verses that the Savior will be involved. While he was here on earth, the Lord Jesus said that the angels would gather the elect at the second coming. He said this in Matthew chapter 13. However, in the rapture, when the church is called out from this earth, this passage says that the Lord himself, he's not sending someone else to gather up the church. It says the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout to take his bride home. The one who died to redeem the bride on the cross is the one who returns to rapture the bride out of this troubled world. As we've already heard from Brother Kevin from the prayer request this morning, this world, every single day, it seems like eternal news in this world just gets worse and worse. So many things have happened in the last few years, in the last few weeks, and just even in the last couple of days, that this world just gets worse and worse. When you see this and this picture that is drawn for us many different times through the Bible of Jesus being the groom coming to get his bride, the church, it's a picture that fits in well with Jewish tradition of the time that this passage was written and the time that the Bible was written. For we see that in Jewish tradition of this time, the bridegroom, after completing a place and a home for himself and his bride, would go with his friends to get his bride and bring her home for the wedding. How beautiful of a picture that is, that our Lord Jesus Christ has been preparing the home for us since he returned to heaven. And he's coming back to get us to live in now. We can see a few different things that the move is going to be accompanied by. First of all, it says it's going to be accompanied by a shout. And when you look at this verse in the original Greek that it was written in, we see that it refers to a military command. It's not just someone saying, hey, it's a military command saying, come on. There is no yes or no, or, well, let me take some time to think about it. It's a come on up. It's time. Get ready. Come on. He's calling the hosts. Jesus is calling the hosts of heaven to assemble for military action against the domain of the enemy, the air. Of course, the shout has another emphasis. Jesus promised that there would come a day when the dead would hear his voice. It was a shout that was already heard by Lazarus when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. It's the same shout and the same word in the Greek that's used when he says the shout coming from the heavens. Even in death, it's a shout that will triumph over the grave, over death, over everything else that this life has brought. Not only is the accompaniment and the movement accompanied by a shout, it's also accompanied by the trumpet of God. And throughout Jewish history and early church history, we see that the trumpet was used for many different but important reasons. We see that it was used to announce feasts, to announce celebrations, to announce sacred assemblies, to sound an alarm during the time of war, to assemble crowds, to make announcements. So we see that this trumpet has possibly two different reasons for happening. It's to assemble the people of God, and it's to signal their deliverance from this world. Not only can we see that the Savior is going to be involved in this move, but the saints will also be involved in this move. When the rapture takes place, it'll involve all those who are saved by the grace of God, both past and present. It's not just an event for some select few that are going through it, but it's an event for every single saint that has ever trusted in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We can see that it's going to include all those that have made that decision to accept that free gift of salvation that was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Not only can we see the participants in the move, but we can see the power that's involved in this move as well. First of all, there's going to be a power of resurrection. This letter was written by Paul to the church of the Thessalonian believers, and they believed, just like from the moment that Jesus ascended back into heaven after his resurrection, believers have believed and trusted that he was coming again. And they've trusted, even as Paul said, that he believed that he would come in his lifetime. And we have been trusting and believing that ever since, and getting ready just as if he would come in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as
that passage said. This church at Thessalonica, though, had come under some belief that those who had already perished, those who had died before the coming of the Lord, were just gone. They weren't going to be taken up in the rapture. They were fearful that their fellow believers who had left this life through the grave weren't going to have that promise of life eternal and life and that resurrection. So we see that Paul wrote this passage to them to encourage them, because the same God who moved in power to create the world and all that's within it, it's the same one who will raise the bodies of the dead. When you consider the millions who have died in faith over the last 2,000 plus years, it's mind-boggling. It boggles the mind, and you don't have to understand the mechanics of how it's going to work out to be blessed by it. You just simply have to understand and have faith in the promise that was given to us that says the dead in Christ shall rise first. They're going to receive a new glorified body that will be taken up from the earth to be transported to glory. Not only is there going to be a power of resurrection, there's going to be a power of the rapture. Paul tells us that those who are alive when the rapture comes will be caught up. When you look at that phrase in the original language, the phrase comes from a word that refers to a strong, irresistible, and violent act. It literally means to seize by force, to carry off by force, to claim for oneself eagerly. Like I said, that shout that we read about is a command, it's a military command, and that caught up is not just an option, a choice. If you've accepted Jesus Christ and you are alive at that time of His return, you will be caught up to meet Him in the air. Not only can we see the participants and the power, but lastly, we can see the promise that's involved in this event. First of all, there's a promise of rescue. When Jesus makes His glorious appearance, the Bible says in this passage that He will come in the air. And it's significant because when you look in the New Testament, we also see that the air is the abode of the devil and his demonic hordes. We can see that in Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 6. In fact, we can see in 2 Corinthians 4 that this world is under the dominion of the devil. When Jesus comes, He comes directly through the enemy territory. He'll call up His bride into the realm of the enemy, and He will lead them safely and triumphantly through the devil's realm and territory as a display of His power and victory. We can never get out of here on our own, but He's going to take us safely all the way to glory. Not only can we see the power of the rescue, we can see that and the promise of the rescue, we see the promise of the reunion. The praise that we see here together with them implies the fact that you and I will enjoy a blessed reunion with those we've seen taken in death. We all have loved ones on the other side. We've talked about them even this morning during prayer time, of those who have either perished in the last couple of weeks or those who are waiting at death's door. We're told that we're going to see them again in the air. What a glorious promise of that blessed reunion. We can also see that there's a promise of revelation. The Bible tells us, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. As glorious as the reunion with our departed loved ones is going to be, something that trumps it even more is the fact that it's not going to end right there. It's going to go on and on and on. It says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Life and time without end. Imagine seeing His face, hearing His voice, and being welcomed home into heaven. As that song says, what a day, what a glorious day that'll be. There's also a promise of rejoicing. Verse 17 and 18 concludes with the statement, so shall we ever be with the Lord. It implies that you and I are going to be wherever He is forever. It'll be a time free from sin and filled with His glory. It'll be a time when all the tears of this life are finally wiped away. Paul closes this chapter with comfort one another with these words. This morning, we're given the promise that a moving day is coming. It's a moving day unlike any moving day that we've ever experienced. While the moving around here on earth can bring heartache and pain and stress and everything else, moving day that's coming that we read about this morning is one that you should be looking forward to. One that should bring hope and joy every time you think about it. It's something that you can, it's a promise that you can, as the old timers used to say, hang your hat on. It's a promise that you can take comfort in those times in this life when you turn on the news and everything just seems to be going wrong. Or when you turn on whatever you're getting your source of information from and everything seems bleak and the despair that comes along with it. You can take hope and comfort in the promise that Jesus is coming again. Whether you are alive at the time that He comes or whether you leave this life through the grave, we're told and promised that we will be caught up. With a shout, with the trumpet of the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and what I'm telling you this may sound good, but you've never taken that first step of faith and accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Everything that I've talked about this morning is just useless to you until you step out and say, Jesus Christ, I know that you died for me. I know that I'm a sinner. And I accept that free gift of salvation. If that's the case this morning, I urge you and beg you and plead with you to make that decision before you leave this place this morning. The Bible tells us that no man knows the hour or the day of his return. It could happen anymore. It could happen before we leave the doors of this place today. And that moving day would be upon us. For those that are saved, what a glorious day that's going to be. What a glorious moment that would be. But for those that aren't, heaven help you. If that's you this morning, I urge you and beg you to get that right with Him this morning. If you just have a need this morning, maybe you're just, things have got you down. You can take comfort in the words that He's given us this morning and the words of this passage that say, He's coming again. Get ready. Be ready. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity to be here today. Lord, we pray for those that are gathered here, for those that have made the choice to come together for worship this morning. We just pray that you'd be with each and every one. We pray that you'd be with each and every need. If there's one here that just needs a touch, whatever that touch might be, that just needs some encouragement, whatever the case might be, I pray that they would look to you for that encouragement this morning. If there's one here within the sound of my voice that has never accepted your gift of salvation, one that has heard this message and, Lord, while heaven sounds great and all those promises sound good, Lord, we pray that this morning they would make that decision to accept the free gift of salvation before they leave this place today. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the promise of your return. And as John said in Revelation, even so come, Lord Jesus.